It's Morning Edition from NPR News on Labor Day. I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Congress has been invited to take a responsibility it does not always exercise. Though the Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war, many presidents have ordered limited military action without asking, most recently in Libya. More than a few lawmakers have been glad not to be put on the spot, but this time they will be. On Saturday, President Obama said he wants a vote in Congress before he goes through with strikes on Syria. That leaves lawmakers to vote on the U.S. response to a chemical attack that killed more than 1,400 people. In a moment, we'll hear what governments around the world are thinking. Some of Syria's neighbors are ready to support a U.S. attack. We begin with the start of that congressional debate. Here's NPR's Elsa Chang.
For days, most of the discontent among members of Congress has been about not being included in the deliberations on Syria, about not getting the chance to vote. Well, now that they've gotten their way, each member of Congress will have to go on the record. And it's anyone's guess what that would actually look like.
Right now, I would say if the vote were today, it would probably be a no vote.
I think Congress passes the authorization.
I think it's at least 50-50 whether the House will vote down involvement in the Syrian war.
That was Republican Congressman Peter King of New York, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, and Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, speaking on Fox and NBC on Sunday. A number of their colleagues traveled to the Capitol that same day to get the first classified briefing on Syria open to any lawmaker. Members who attended estimate more than 100 showed up. There were reminders it was still summer recess. Republican Congressman Justin Amash of Michigan strolled in wearing jeans and a T-shirt emblazoned with a picture of Darth Vader. But lawmakers kept touching on the gravity of the question before them. Here's Javier Becerra, chair of the House Democratic Caucus.
It's a vote of conscience, and I think this is the supreme vote that any member of Congress can take. So this is not going to be a matter of trying to enforce party discipline or to vote for or against the president. This has got to be something you believe in.
Becerra says he believes in limited brief strikes on Syria. But if you ask other lawmakers what the president should do, the most frequent response from both Democrats and Republicans was a version of, I don't know yet.
I'm not there yet.
That's Democratic Congresswoman Janice Hahn of California.
I feel terrible about the chemical weapons that have been used. However, we know that chemical weapons have been used in other instances, and we did not take military action.
Lawmakers were holed up in the briefing room for almost 3 hours. House Democrat Jim Himes of Connecticut said there was a barrage of skeptical questions for White House officials. The specter of Iraq hung over the discussion.
In that room today, there was a lot of memories over another time when a president came and said, or at least the president's people came and said that this was a slam dunk intelligence. And of course, that was not, I think, an episode that most members would ever want to repeat.
Many members are struggling with the question of how attacking Syria because of chemical weapons would actually protect U.S. national security. Others are wrestling with the goal of the mission. Is it to punish the use of chemical weapons, or should the U.S. go further and try to overthrow the regime? And still others are fearful the U.S. is treading into an open-ended conflict, despite the president's assurances the strikes would last just a few days.
Well, this is a partial blank check the way it's currently drafted.
House Democrat Chris Van Hollen of Maryland says explicit limits are missing from the language in the resolution the president wants Congress to pass. Van Hollen wants to see an express provision forbidding boots on the ground and a time limit on the attack. Caution like that was perceptible from nearly every lawmaker emerging from the briefing on Sunday. Republican Mike Burgess of Texas says he's probably voting no.
You know, I just think back to what General Eisenhower said in 1954. That was a pretty rough year for him. He said you shouldn't go to war for emotional reasons. And right now, I think it would be in response. It would be an emotional response, and that probably is not a good enough reason.
One day after the president's announcement, it's clear the debate on Syria will be intense and divisive. And somehow Congress will have to fit that conversation into an already jam-packed schedule after the summer recess, when they'll have just a matter of weeks to figure out the country's debt and deficit problems, too. Elsa Chang, NPR News, the Capitol.
Now let's hear some of the response from overseas to the U.S. attack that seemed imminent and was then delayed. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Beirut.
Syria's pro-government Al-Thawra newspaper called it a historic American retreat. and supporters of President Bashar al-Assad said they were teaching the world a lesson in strong leadership. Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal Maqdad told the BBC that President Obama's speech may reflect a more thoughtful approach, but doesn't fundamentally change anything. He said whether America strikes Syria immediately or after a pause, the results would be equally disastrous.
More hatred for the Americans, more weakening of international institutions. Terrorism will flourish everywhere. This will undermine the security of Americans inside and outside their country. Al-Qaeda is there. Any attack against Syria is support of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates.
Maqdad also reiterated Syria's denial that it was government forces that used chemical weapons in an attack in the Ghouta suburb of the capital, where Washington says more than 1,400 people were killed, more than 400 of them children.
No, absolutely not. Chemical weapons and agents were used by the armed groups who are supported by the United States, by Turkey, by Saudi Arabia, among others.
If Syria seemed pleased, the reaction from others in the region ranged from confusion to dismay. A deflated-sounding Syrian National Coalition, the main opposition group, issued a statement from Istanbul calling on Congress to make the right choice and support the president's efforts. The group added that the international community's inaction during the past 2.5 years, quote, allowed the regime to escalate the conflict to the point where it thought it could use chemical weapons with impunity. Turkey's prime minister, who thinks President Obama's limited strike wouldn't go far enough, says Turkey will be part of any international coalition. Russia, preparing to host the G20 summit this week, remains strongly opposed to military action. France says it won't act without a coalition, and Britain has refused to join one. Arab League foreign ministers met in Cairo to discuss Syria, with strong divisions over how to respond. Saud al-Faisal, the Saudi foreign minister, made perhaps the strongest call for more action against Syria.
Along with the Syrian people, we demand the international community to take all necessary measures to help them and stop the hooliganism of the murderers. We support them, and we will not be satisfied by just condemning the situation. We demand the full support of the international community to stop the attacks on the Syrian people before they perish.
Middle East analyst Emil Hokayam with the International Institute for Strategic Studies says the limited nature of the proposed U.S. strike and the divisiveness among the Western allies have Arab governments jittery, wondering if this is how the West confronts Syria's use of horrific weapons, how will it respond to Iran's nuclear ambitions? Hokayam says regional disenchantment with U.S. foreign policy has been building for some time, and this latest step back from action will only exacerbate that.
Well, I mean, the U.S. has botched every approach, the decision to arm the rebels, now the strikes, but also diplomacy. And there is a suspicion today among many Syrians and many Arabs, for that matter, that the U.S. is content with the current stalemate.
Analysts say a diplomatic solution still represents the least bloody answer to the conflict, but is more unlikely than ever in the current climate. Not least because America's top diplomat, Secretary of State John Kerry, is now seen as one of the leading hawks in favor of replacing the man he called a thug and a murderer, Bashar al-Assad. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Beirut.